Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. And we'll be reading from verse 20 through 26, which is found on page 941 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them even as thou hast loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, may be with me where I am, to behold my glory, which thou hast given me in thy love for me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these know that thou hast sent me. I made known to them thy name, and I will make it known, that the love which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. It's the word of the Lord. Dear God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord Jesus, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our reading this morning is a part of a larger reading. It's actually a prayer that Jesus is praying on behalf of his disciples. It's a rather long prayer, chapter 17 in John's Gospel, but one of the words that consistently jumped out at me was the word glory. Again and again in chapter 17, Jesus talks about glory, talks about his glory, talks about God's glory. He is seemingly obsessed with glory. We live in a world that is obsessed with glory. We live in a world where people want to shine, where people hope to shine, where people believe that by standing out and by being glorified in some way, that maybe they can be accepted and loved. And so we live in a world that is often obsessed with glory. But that's what Jesus is concerned with in our text for this morning. He is concerned with glory. We all know what glory is. To have glory means to be set apart. It means to shine in some way. It has to do with renown and distinction and honor. It has to do with beauty and splendor and magnificence. It has to do with worship and praise and thanksgiving. Whenever we think of glory, we automatically think of the glory of God, the radiant splendor and magnificence of God that compels our worship and our praise and our awe. It is what we do here every Sunday when we come together. We acknowledge God's glory. The Greek word for glory is doxa. It's where we get the word doxology that we sing every Sunday. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him all the heavenly host. And praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We give God praise because God is the source of every blessing, because God is a God of glory. And we acknowledge that. We also say every Sunday the Gloria Patri, that's Latin. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is, and ever shall be. In Latin and Greek and English, we acknowledge the glory of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God is a glorious God. God is a God of glory. God is a God of splendor. God is a God of luminosity. God is a magnificent God. The Bible reminds us again and again that God is a God who is glorious, a God of glory. Many of us believe that one of the ways that we can be like God is for ourselves to obtain glory. And so we spend a great deal of time trying to shine over others. We spend a great deal of time cultivating and garnering praise and adulation, hoping that maybe if we receive the right kind of praise, that maybe we will be accepted and loved. If glory is what constitutes who God is, then we hope maybe we too can be like God if we just have enough glory. If we're able to get that promotion, if we're able to get that office at the top floor, if we are beautiful enough, if we are smart enough, if we are athletic enough, if we have the right body size and the right body shape, then maybe we can be glorious and maybe we can be accepted and loved. But in our text this morning, Jesus says something that's quite remarkable. Not only does he pray that we will always see his glory, a glory that he shares with the Father because he and the Father are one, but Jesus says that the glory that the Father gives to him, he gives to us. He gives it to you and to me, to his disciples. We share in his glory, which means that we share in the glory of the Father. It's a remarkable statement that we share God's glory, that Jesus actually gives us his glory. Glory be to the Father, glory be to the Son, and glory be to the Holy Spirit. And glory be to you and to me because we belong to Christ and he has given us his glory. We are the community that has been shaped by his glory. We live in a world that glorifies all kinds of things. We glorify beauty and we glorify brains and we glorify health. We glorify movie stars and sports stars and politicians. We glorify fame and fortune and wealth. But we are reminded this morning that real glory belongs to us. It belongs to you and me because we share in the glory of Christ, and therefore we share in the glory of God. And that's why Jesus prays that we will always see his glory. Because whenever we see his glory, we see our own glory. But what does Jesus mean by that? What does Jesus mean by all of that glory talk? What does it mean to be a community that is shaped by the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it mean to have His glory? Does it mean that we're always going to be on top? Does it mean that as Christians we're always going to shine more than anyone else? Does it mean as Christians that God is always going to help us to win? Does it mean that all the roads that we encounter will be straight and smooth? What does Jesus mean when Jesus talks about glory? This is Ascension Sunday. This is a Sunday where we usually acknowledge that after Jesus' resurrection, that He spent 40 days here on earth before He ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. And it's there where He will be given all power and authority and dominion. Jesus has ascended into God's space where He goes to reign. And many people believe that that is what Jesus' glory is all about. It's about Him defeating the forces of death and about Him ascending into heaven where He now has all power and authority and dominion. That's what Jesus' glory is all about. You can't get any more glorious than that. There's no position that is more glorious than ascending into heaven and assuming all power and authority and honor and dominion. So is that what Jesus' glory is about? Is that the glory that Jesus has and the glory that Jesus has given to us? That's what we think when we think about glory, power and authority and honor and privilege and renown. But in John's gospel, we are reminded that Jesus' glory is not so much about being lifted up into heaven, though that's certainly important. In John's gospel, Jesus' glory is about Him coming down to heaven to be with us, coming down from heaven, descending from heaven to become one of us. That's what the prologue to the Gospel of John says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And after the Word becomes flesh, it dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. We have seen His glory, the glory of a Father's only Son. In other words, Jesus' glory is Jesus' willing to come down in the mire and the muck that we are ensnared in and to be a part of us, to be with us. Jesus' glory was not about Him being in heaven and staying in heaven, but His glory was coming down to be in the midst of our world. In the midst of this world of sickness and death, in the midst of this world of suffering and pain, Jesus comes down to be with us. Born of a poor teenage mother in a remote part of the world, Jesus comes to be in our midst. Not as a powerful military general, not as a powerful emperor, not as a rich athlete or as a celebrity, but He comes to be in our midst as a little bitty baby born to a teenage mama. And the text wants us to understand that that is Jesus' glory, the glory of being with us, the glory of being in our midst, his willingness to be obedient and to be faithful and to be in our midst. I often think of missionaries who leave the modern comforts and conveniences and who leave family and friends in order to go to a foreign land to bring the hope of the gospel. Missionaries who build schools and communities and churches, and this congregation over the years has helped many missionaries to do that. Some of those missionaries' names will never be writ large on any major bulletin board. Their names will never be household names. They'll never be famous evangelists. They'll never be pastors of large mega churches. But they know what glory is all about, because the glory that they exhibit is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a glory that loves people enough to go and to be in the midst of them and to proclaim to them the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of some of my seminary professors who put aside their seminary careers and their hopes of advancement in order to become residents of the Open Door in Atlanta, a community that reached out to homeless people and where they often lived with homeless people. They may not have received the glory of tenure or the glory of an academic success, but they understood God's glory, the glory of being with and the glory of being for, the glory of being in the midst of where people need to hear the good news of the gospel and need to experience God's grace and mercy in their lives. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. It's part of what the Gospel of John means when it talks about Jesus' glory. But that's not the only kind of glory that it talks about when it comes to Jesus. Jesus' glory is not just being with us, but Jesus' glory is actually dying for us. In John's gospel, for Jesus to be glorified means that his hour has come. It means that Jesus is lifted up not into heaven, lifted up not simply to ascend into heaven, but he is lifted up on the cross. And that for John is Jesus's glory. On the cross, hanging and suffering, Jesus' glory is there for all to see. And Jesus says in our text this morning that he hopes that we, his disciples, will see his glory, that we will see his glory. Because it is that glory that helps us to be one, that helps us to be one with each other, to be one with the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be one with God. If we want to be like God, it's not about how big a name we can make for ourselves. If we want to be like God, it's not about how much praise and adulation we can garner. If we want to be like God, it's not about what size church we go to or what position we are able to assume. It's not about how big of office we have or how many titles we have before our name. It's not about how much responsibility we are trusted with. But if we want it to be like God, it's about how much we are willing to give ourselves in acts of self-giving love. It's about how willing we are to be with each other and with people who are in the midst of their own trials and tribulations. It's about being involved in the muck and the mire of life. It's about getting in the trenches and getting our hands dirty and getting our feet muddied. Someone said that glory does not mean to shine, but glory means to bleed. And that is certainly true if what we are after is the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of you may be in the midst of situations where you feel that you don't have an opportunity to shine. You may feel that you are going through things that prevent you from being able to shine. You may feel that you are overwhelmed with events in life and that you don't have an opportunity to shine, that everything around you seems to be falling apart. Everything you touch seems to be going helter-skelter, and your lives are in no way encountered by the glorious and the divine. I would encourage you to see those situations as opportunities to avail yourself of God's glory. It is in the midst of those kinds of situations that we have the opportunity to become glorious. It is when we are able to accommodate ourselves to what is going on around us, to the suffering and the pain that is going on around us, that we have the opportunity to be glorious. I was reading the story of a surgeon who had to remove a tumor from the cheek of a young woman. And after the surgery, the woman was in bed and her post-operative mouth was twisted in sort of a clownish kind of way. During the operation, the doctor actually severed a small nerve, a nerve that released the muscle that controlled the cheek and the mouth, and the woman's mouth was quite twisted. She felt kind of bad, and the husband was there in the room with the doctor, and the woman asked the doctor if her mouth was going to stay that way, and he said, "I'm afraid that it will be." And she nodded and fell silent and looked broken. But her young husband, who was there, smiled gently and said, "I like it." Acknowledged that it was kind of cute, and he bent down to kiss her and to accommodate his mouth to her twisted and clownish mouth. And the doctor saw it and knew that this young husband represented the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We become glorious when we accommodate ourselves to what is going on in our world. Accommodate ourselves to other people's pain, and there's a lot of it in our own community. There are people who are battling with addictions. There are people who are struggling in the midst of their family life. There are people who are going through all kinds of trials and tribulations. And we don't always have the answer to their problems or have the ability to fix their problems, but we can be present with them. We can be available to them. We can accommodate our life to their lives and to show them that we love them and that we care for them and that we are with them, just as the Lord Jesus Christ was with each and every one of us. So I would call you this morning to a life of glory. I would call you this morning to a life of love. Because we won't find love and acceptance by seeking after glory. We find glory, true glory, by being willing to open ourselves up to love. To God's love and to others' love, and to return that love by accommodating our lives to what is going on around us. We have been called to share in the glory, to share in the glory of God, to share in the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to see His glory and to share His glory, and to live His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son. Let us pray. Eternal God, You have called us to a life of glory. You have called us to live a different kind of way. In a world where people are rushing to and fro, trying to shine and outshine their neighbor, You have called us to open ourselves up in love. That is not easy. It's not easy for any of us to do, but we are reminded that we have before us the life of one who did that very thing. He left Your side to come and be in our midst, to be with us. And He died for us, suffered for us. He divested Himself of all titles and honor, of everything that we call glorious, in order to live a life that is truly glorious. And because of His faithfulness and obedience, You have given Him a name that is above every other name. You have given Him all power and authority and honor and glory. May we, as we seek to be faithful servants of His, follow Him and live our own lives of glory. In His name we pray. Amen.